Welcome to this Sutphen Seminars Psychic Development Course. I'm Dick Sutphen, and this short course will teach you not only how to be psychic, but it will provide you an altered state meditation session that will allow you to test your new abilities, and another to program your mind to open psychically. Learning to receive psychic answers really begins with understanding your reason for being here on Earth at this time. First, we all have our individual karma to resolve and dharma to fulfill. Karma is the law of cause and effect. Classically, it's best expressed, as you sow, so shall you reap. The effect of positive or negative deeds is balanced over a sequential series of lifetimes, resulting in perfect justice. Dharma, D-H-A-R-M-A, is your duty to yourself and to society. Karma conditions you, through your experiences, to create the character required to fulfill your dharma. Second, we all share the same earthly purpose, which is to learn to let go of fear and to express unconditional love. To resolve our karma, we must let go of all the fear-based emotions, anger, selfishness, jealousy, hate, greed, possessiveness, guilt, envy, anxiety, insecurity, inhibitions, egotism, malice, blame, resentment, and repression, just to name a few. It's these fears that keep us earthbound, returning lifetime after lifetime. Now, as we let go of fear, we naturally raise our vibrational rate, which is also called our level of awareness. We're all born with a vibrational rate we earned in the past as a result of how we lived our previous lives. How you've lived your life, from your birth up until this moment, dictates your current vibrational rate. If you've lived your life expressing fear-based emotions, you've probably lowered your vibrational rate. But the other side of fear is love. To raise your rate, you must learn to express unconditional love, which is the acceptance of others without judgment, without blame, and without expectations. As we rise above our fears, we naturally open to express unconditional love. And the more we express unconditional love, the easier it becomes to let go of fear. But all too often we forget to apply the non-judgmental attitude of unconditional love to ourselves. We all have two selves, an ego self, which is constantly thinking and judging, and a natural self, which is quiet and accepting. Harmony can exist between these two selves only when your mind is quiet. Only then can you attain peak performance levels in whatever you do, whether it's your work, your leisure activities, or your psychic awareness. You perform your best not when you're trying, but when you respond naturally. In Zen, this is called mugga, which means an attitude of action in which you do not feel that I am doing it. You cease to dwell upon winning or losing. You simply do your best, responding to an inner direction that carries you effortlessly through the experience. This is what you'll need to do to perceive accurate psychic input. For years, I've told the audiences in my seminars, everyone is naturally psychic to a degree. But with practice, we all have the ability to become fairly good psychics. Your mind contains three levels: conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. Now, you're familiar with your conscious mind, but your subconscious mind is like a computer containing memories of everything that has ever happened to you in your current life and all of your past lives. Although your subconscious has little or no reasoning power, it's programmed to survive. It has survived up to now by comparing the past to the present. As an example, maybe you're considering parking your car on a dark street, but your subconscious scans the memory banks and realizes you were once mugged in a dark alley in an ancient Egyptian incarnation. So it generates a strong sense of dis-ease, enough so to cause you to park in a safer place, although you'll have to walk farther because of this decision. Brain-mind experts say we only use 10% of our mind. And within the unused 90% is another mental realm we call superconsciousness, or higher self. And it's here that our natural latent psychic abilities lie waiting to be tapped. Joseph B. Rhine's work at Duke University was followed by the many explorations at Stanford Research Institute and the psychophysical research laboratories at Princeton. Each in its own way proved the existence of ESP, extrasensory perception, and other psychic abilities. Back in the 70s, U.S. intelligence sources estimated that the Soviets were spending at least $21 million a year on the investigation and development of extrasensory and psychokinesis skills. This discovery caused our government to take psychic ability seriously. The CIA went on to fund several parapsychological and remote viewing studies, including joint psychic operations with the National Security Agency. It wasn't until the late 80s and 90s that we began to learn how incredibly effective some of these psychic spying projects proved to be. My first career was as an artist, and I can still recall one of my instructors at the Los Angeles Art Center School telling the class, "Art and design is 10% talent and 90% hard work and training." Now, I didn't believe it at the time, but later came to see the truth in the statements. The harder I worked, the better I became, until I eventually won 150 awards for my work and then decided it was time to move on to another career. The new career was psychic investigation and hypnotic potentials. And now, after nearly 25 years in this field, I can say that I firmly believe that developing psychic ability is 10% talent and 90% hard work and training. That statement comes from my personal experiences, the experiences of those close to me, and as a result of training thousands of people in psychic seminars. If you want to become psychic, you have the power and ability to do so. If you wanted to develop your physical muscles, you'd have to work with an exercise program, and you know that it would take time. But if you worked regularly towards a clearly defined goal, each week your muscles would develop a little more until sometime in the future you achieved the physique you desire. The same is true of psychic ability. You must work at it every day. Many extrasensory techniques, such as telepathy, psychometry, automatic writing, and verbal channeling, are most effective in an altered state of consciousness. Other techniques, using symbol systems such as tarot cards and the I Ching, can be used effectively while fully awake. Plus, we all perceive hunches and premonitions as we go about our day-to-day lives, although all too often we don't recognize them for what they are. To develop psychic ability, you need to take the time to practice while relaxed in an environment where you won't be disturbed. Ideally, you'll develop the ability to blank your mind, which means to condition yourself not to think about anything. Now, it takes a great deal of practice to hold a mental blank screen for even a few seconds without other thoughts or images intruding. But if you keep at it, with practice, your mind will remain blank longer and longer. Once you fully develop this ability, psychic impressions can be projected as an image upon your inner screen, or, in this quiet state, you'll perceive thoughts or feelings that you'll learn to trust. There is no set pattern for the reception of psychic awareness. It varies with all psychics. As someone who is visually oriented, my most accurate psychic impressions usually come in the form of quick, fantasy-like pictures. My wife Tara is most accurate when using automatic writing. In an altered state, she allows an entity in spirit to communicate through her hand via the writing. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The first thing you need to practice is blanking your mind. I like to have people close their eyes and focus only upon an orange dot, as if they were watching a faraway sun in a black environment. Practice at least 15 minutes a day. Breathe deeply, relax, and then focus upon the image of the sun. The moment another thought or image enters your mind, brush it aside and return to concentrating upon the sun in the black sky. Once you've developed the ability to blank your mind, the idea is to ask a question you desire to have answered. Then, wait for an answer that will come in the form of thoughts, feelings, or visual impressions. The answer may come in immediately, or it may take time. And when you do begin to receive a response, it's important to trust the first impressions that come up, no matter how silly or unimportant they may seem. Let the impression form and flow without interference. In other words, without intellectualizing or rationalizing why you're perceiving these particular impressions. Keep your conscious mind out of it. The only analyzing you want to do is in regard to noting any physical senses or emotions that accompany the impressions. Is there a feeling of apprehension, warmth, love, or hate, anger, or relief? Did any smells accompany the impressions? What about auditory input? All right. Now, with the basic technique in mind, it's time to move on and begin to explore 10 primary exercises that will help you to rapidly develop psychic ability. Exercise number 1 is to forecast your day's events. Now, this can be done in the evening, looking forward to what will be happening the next day, or in the morning before you begin your day. The idea is to invoke an altered state of consciousness, which we'll discuss later, or to blank your mind, as I've already described. Then, allow 4 different words to come into your mind. Each word is to relate to something that will have meaning for you on this particular day. As an example, in response to your request for psychic information, you might receive the words cake, England, tire, and headache. Now, in the hours that follow, the words might manifest as events, such as an office birthday party in which you're offered a piece of birthday cake during your coffee break. Maybe you receive a letter from England. And while driving home that evening, you swerve to avoid hitting a man who is changing a flat tire along the highway. When you arrive home, you learn that your plans to go out have been canceled because one of your friends has a bad headache. In addition to asking to perceive 4 words that will relate to your day, you can attempt to perceive many additional bits of psychic information. As examples, how many pieces of snail mail will you receive, and how many email messages will be waiting for you when you turn on your computer? Who will be the first person to call you on the phone? What will the temperature be at noon? If you have plans to meet someone for lunch, what will they be wearing? You get the idea. Use every opportunity to practice psychic development. And don't be discouraged by being wrong. You're just practicing. Maybe you get 1 out of 25 right. But if you keep at it, you may double or triple that result the following week or the week after that. Remember what I said about developing muscles. You must keep working at it. If you were just taking up tennis, you wouldn't expect to get most of the balls over the net in the early stages of the learning curve. Keep at it. Practice. And know that if you're troubled, upset, or anxious, you probably won't be as accurate as when in a positive frame of mind. Also know that when it comes to psychic performance, positive thinking doesn't work. Negative thinking doesn't work. Non-thinking works. People try to make it happen instead of just letting it happen. Instead, just get out of your own way and let it happen. Concentrate without thinking. Keep your mind focused upon what you're doing and the results you desire without focusing on how to do it. All right, now, exercise number 2. Test yourself every day in an area where you'll be able to experience immediate feedback in regard to something unrelated to you personally. As an example, psychically predict which dogs or horses will be winning at your local track. Then check the evening paper to judge your results. The stock market offers another opportunity. Exercise number 3. Remote viewing is a process of mentally projecting to a person or location at a distance. As we have regularly proven to the amazement of seminar participants, almost everyone is capable of successfully remote viewing. The idea of this exercise is to induce an altered state of consciousness, or blank your mind, and imagine the person or the location you desire to visit. Then be open to the impressions that begin to come in. Flow with the images as they unfold, and note every detail. Ideally, you'll project to another person you know, so when you've completed the session, you can call them to check the accuracy of the experience. My 74-minute Telecrux Power Course explores remote viewing and telepathy in 2 altered state sessions. Okay, now, exercise number 4. Telepathic commands are mental images you send out to another person in an effort to generate a response. You can play this game with strangers, family, or friends. As an example, you might command a stranger to turn around simply by blanking your view screen, and then silently in your mind, over and over, issuing the command, "Turn around and look at me. Turn around and look at me." Now look directly at the individual and focus your total concentration as you issue the mental command. Keep at it. The more you practice, the more successful you'll become. You'll probably be more successful with people who share a common or similar brainwave frequency. But there's no way to know who they are without testing. And this will explain any inconsistency you experience while developing your powers. You can send mental messages to friends or loved ones to call you on the phone or send you an email. You may even want to use the power to get a grouch to smile. Just try it. You can also use telepathy to do a psychic reading or to send a message across distance to a person of your choice. Sometimes this works best when combined with remote viewing. You can blank your mind or use the altered state meditation technique that I'll be teaching later. Capture the person's essence in your mind and then mentally project to them and ask to perceive information about their state of mind and current circumstances. Let me add an important word of warning here regarding telepathy and remote viewing. This doesn't really apply to commanding a stranger to turn around and look at you, but it's very important when it comes to projecting meaningful messages. Your motive, intent, and desire must be positive, non-manipulative, and for the other person's greater good, or you'll incur negative karma. If, to get what you want, someone else would lose what they have, your karma might be balanced quickly, as if your psychic projections hit a mirror and bounced right back, creating a loss for you. All right, exercise number 5. Practice long-range predictions that are unrelated to you personally. A perfect example would be to predict a potential news story on the front page of your newspaper 1 week from today. Exercise number 6. Never pass up an opportunity to make a psychic judgment, even if you only have a second or two to blank your mind. The ringing telephone offers most of us many such opportunities. Silently in your mind, simply ask the question, "Who is calling me?" And then wait for an internal voice to respond. There is no limit to the opportunities for this sort of mental game playing. While driving your car, you can foresee parking places or police cars or out-of-state license plates. Exercise number 7. Psychometry is also called psychometric telepathy, and you receive psychic information by holding an object in your hand to perceive the etheric emanations of the owner. By touching the object, you perceive through your sympathetic nervous system, and your brain amplifies and interprets the signals into information you can understand. Objects most easily read are metal. Precious metal best holds vibrations. And the more the object has been involved in the same role repeatedly, the stronger the emanations. Rings and necklaces are ideal if the owner has worn them regularly. But experiment with every kind of object, including cloth. You'll need other people to provide you with unfamiliar objects to practice upon. Dig out your grandmother's jewelry, antiques, or your mate's high school ring that they now keep in their memento box. To do a psychic reading on the object, hold it in your left hand, palm up, and keep your right hand palm down. This creates what is called a metaphysical open circuit. Once you're relaxed, you can either blank your mind and await impressions, or you can use an altered state technique. Remember to trust every impression, thought, feeling, or visualization that flows through your mind. Trust is the key word for the perception of all psychic input. Exercise number 8. Now the next couple exercises require another person to work with you. Ideally, you'll find someone who is equally interested in developing their psychic abilities, but this isn't necessary if your partner is willing to sincerely play the game. You'll learn to develop your telepathy by taking turns being a sender and a receiver. Practice sending numbers between 1 and 9. Send one of the 4 primary colors, red, blue, yellow, or black. Send shapes. Send emotions. Your mind tends to be visual, so send telepathic communications as visual impressions supported by words chanted silently in your mind like a mantra. Before sending telepathic communications, imagine the person you're going to be sending to, your target. Visualize how they look, talk, move. In other words, capture their essence in your mind. And it often really helps if you vividly imagine your top 3 chakras connected by arches of light. Imagine an intense purple light emitting from your crown chakra on the top of your head. Now with your inner eyes, see it arch up out, across space, to connect with your target's crown chakra. Then do the same thing with your third eye brow chakra, this time with a blue-violet light. And finally, connect your throat chakras with a silvery blue light. Now, if you're working with your partner in the same room, or at a distance at a coordinated time, both of you visualizing the chakra connections will enhance telepathic receptivity. I direct this kind of session in our Sedona Psychic Seminar, and we obtain 85 to 95% success rate with people doing a telepathic session for the first time. Again, the more you practice, the better you'll get. Exercise number 9. Many variations of this photo reading technique are used in psychic and human potential seminars. You'll need a partner to provide you with a photograph of someone you don't know. Sometimes this exploration is done with only the name of someone your partner knows well, but who is unfamiliar to you. Now, if the photograph is to be used, don't look at the photo. Place it face down and rest your hands upon it. Then blank your mind and ask that you begin to receive information about this individual. At first, this technique really requires trust. You may get a flood of information, or you may have to ask questions to attain the desired information. Ask about the sex of the individual, their approximate age, and state of health. If you sense there are any health problems, verbalize them in detail. Seek information about marital status, children, likes, dislikes, nationality, prejudices, and anything else that will support your psychic investigation of the individual. If your partner is to provide you with only the name of an individual you're to psychically perceive, you'll probably be drawing the information about the person from your partner's mind. Again, use the same technique and trust the impressions you receive, no matter how unrelated they may appear to be. Remember, too, in seminars, almost everyone attending is able to successfully perceive accurate impressions of a stranger using one of these methods. Exercise number 10. Psychokinesis, or PK, is the ability to move or control objects with your mind. And I'll share a few exercises that are easily developed with minimal amount of practice. First, fill a bowl or a bucket with water. Take a cork and stick just enough weights into it so that it just barely sinks to the bottom. Use nails or pins as weights. Now, begin to send mental commands for the cork to rise to the top of the bucket. Vividly imagine the cork levitating and keep your concentration focused upon rising. Even this technique requires blanking your mind, for if you allow any other thoughts to intrude, you will reduce your odds of success. All right, now here's another exploration you can do with a shallow bowl of water. Cut a small piece of foil about a half inch square and bend one end up to create a sail. Now make sure the water is steady and there are no drafts. Now, place your index finger close to your little boat, but don't touch it. Now, blank your mind and mentally command the boat to move to you or away from you. Another interesting exploration demonstrating the existence of life energy and psychokinesis is conducted with a couple of wire coat hangers. Find two wire coat hangers and cut and straighten them so that you have two lengths of 20-inch wire. Now, bend 5 inches of each wire at a 45-degree angle to form handles. The next step is to hold the wires very loosely in one hand, pointing them at someone. Now, proper holding takes a little practice at first, but it's easily learned. Hold the wires very lightly, just resting in the opening created by closing your fingers into an unclenched fist. Now, the wires must pivot freely. Now, walk very slowly toward the other person. And as you come into their energy field, the wires will swing apart all on their own, reacting to the person's life energy. This is a dowsing principle, which works for everyone. To demonstrate psychokinesis, have the other person attempt to make the wires swing by sending a thought projection. It will work if they'll focus their concentration upon an image of themselves walking toward the wires, right up to the wires. If you keep working with the wires, you'll probably find that a mental command from several feet away is enough to make the wires swing. Once you're successful with these simple exercises, you'll be ready to move larger items with your mind. The secret to developing PK is, again, continued practice. Okay, now I've talked about a basic technique of blanking your mind and 10 exercises to help you rapidly develop psychic ability. Chances are you won't be able to do all the exercises every day, but be aware that your psychic development will depend upon how hard you work at it. Just like developing muscles or learning to play tennis. As your psychic powers increase, you'll find areas of expertise and techniques that are most effective.